This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we open our hearts to you this day and praise you for all of the goodness that you've shown to us. Today we pray, O God, in a very special way that you will raise up people of strong biblical conviction, that they would go throughout this world to tell the story of Jesus Christ, that men and women might receive him and be saved. We ask your blessings upon our seminaries, those who teach there, grant that they may understand what a tremendously important position they hold in Christ's church. And then call our people, call some who are young to study for the ministry. Call many of us to be teachers of your word, that all may be done to the honor and the glory of your kingdom in the work of the church. For this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, many years ago, there was in England a great preacher by the name of Bishop Ryle. He has written these words: "The brightest days of the church have been those when preaching has been honored. The darkest days of the church have been those when it was lightly esteemed. Let us honor the sacraments and public prayers of the church and reverently use them, but let us not place them above preaching." So you see, the old bishop felt that preaching was very, very important, and he put it high, if not at the very top, of the list. I don't know how you feel, but I think the one who put that conviction into the soul of Bishop Ryle was none other than Jesus Christ himself. For in our text today, it says that Jesus came to Capernaum and preached. He began his ministry by preaching and teaching. Let me read you just a few verses from this part of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. "Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah: 'Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.' From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" If you study the history of some of the great churches in America, you will see that these places had the privilege of hearing God's word preached faithfully, dynamically, and lovingly by people who themselves walked in a personal relationship with Christ and considered the Bible their only authority in matters of faith and life. Each Sunday, the people could go there and know that they were going to hear a message from God's holy, inspired word. It was not always great oratory. Some of those who expounded that word were very ordinary in their presentation. But people came away from there with a great message, not only in their head, but in their soul. A good example of that, for example, is the Moody Church in Chicago. Many, many years ago, Dwight L. Moody was a powerful preacher of that congregation. And there he stood each Sunday telling people to repent and then telling them that if they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would be God's child forever and they would live eternally with him in the kingdom of heaven. Now, many, many years after Moody, I happen to have a grandson who lives in the city of Chicago. Every Sunday, this young man of 26 years of age, and I've had him talk two or three times on Christian Crusaders, goes to the Moody Church. And so I asked him one time, "How did you happen to choose that church, Tim? I know that young people today are not necessarily going after a church of their own denomination. They want to go where they can hear the word of God. At least he does." And so he said, "Well, that Moody Church attracted me, and I'd read a little bit about Dwight L. Moody, so that's where I go every Sunday. And believe me, it's not the easiest church to find in Chicago, and the parking is terrible around there, but I can assure you that it's worth it because on Sunday, you hear, without a doubt, 52 Sundays out of the year, you hear preached the message from God's holy word." And so the minister goes to Moody Church on Sunday morning preaching. And that's what Jesus did. Now also, if you study the book of Mark along the same line as Jesus coming to Capernaum, that he also taught. And Mark puts it this way, that on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught them. What is the difference between preaching and teaching? Well, they are two entirely different Greek words, But I interpret it this way. Preaching to me is proclamation. It is proclaiming the great truth that is found in the Bible, often to a larger number of people. You want to let them know, what is a Christian faith really all about? And then after these people have a good taste of it and they want to dig more deeply into the Word of God, they say, teach me some more. Teach me some more. And this is where teaching really takes place. Now, there is some teaching, great teaching, that goes on a Sunday morning where they used to once be preaching. But that teaching, generally speaking, is found among smaller groups. And so that's what Jesus did. He preached and he taught. And he came to Capernaum. Now, you know that he had spent the early years of his life in the city of Nazareth, but they didn't seem to want him anymore. They were evidently kind of closed-mouthed. They had their own religion. They didn't want any more said about it, didn't want anybody stirring into it or making proclamations that they didn't agree with. So rather than to fight with them, and probably because it was the directing hand of God Almighty, Jesus leaves Nazareth, and he goes down to Galilee, which Matthew entitles Galilee of the Gentiles. And he was primarily in the city of Capernaum. In that city, there were Jewish people, to be sure, and he was very, very concerned about his own. But there are foreigners who had come there. They had come from Syria, for example. They were hungry for new thoughts on spiritual matters. And Jesus had an audience who would listen to them. They were spiritually hungry. I'd like to stop right here for a moment and draw a comparison between the Galilee of the Gentiles, Capernaum and some of those surrounding cities, and the United States of America in 2008. We have welcomed to our shores people with all kinds of backgrounds. Some rich, some poor, some educated, some uneducated, some from the elite and some from people of really no particular reputation. They came with different spiritual backgrounds too. In the early society, as well as today, there are many who came as atheists, fleeing away from the church, and if not atheists, then agnostics, wanting to have little to do with this, quote, superstitious message that they had heard. There were people who were indifferent to the Word of God. And there were many who came with different kinds of religion. And so they still come today. Put them all together, and I think we have to say that they are spiritually hungry. And in Jesus' day, when he came to Capernaum, he had a captive audience in many cases. People who perhaps would not admit it, but who had itching ears and wanted to know more about who they were, where they were going, and why they were here. So he preached to them. And so preaching has been done in the United States too. The preaching that Jesus did, I pray, is the same preaching that goes on in evangelical Christianity today, where God's law is held up, presenting to us the very fact that we are sinners, that we're not just good people, we are not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have broken the law of God. But we have also been told in the gospel, and that's what Jesus came with too. He came telling them that my purpose in this world is to be your Savior. And he lived that out in a period of 3 years. He suffered. He died on a cross. He paid the price for our sins. He was raised again. He has promised that he is coming once more. And that's the message of the gospel that he rang from his lips during his day, not only in Capernaum, but in many other parts, down into Judea and all over the countryside, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. When that message is proclaimed, it is relevant, friend. For still, there are those who may not say so, but in their hearts, there is a real question about where they're going and why they're here, and how should they live while they are here. Well, Jesus set the agenda 2,000 years ago, and it is just as relevant now as it was then. Here is one thought that must have been terribly shocking for those people of his day. And you know what? It is just as shocking today. That God Almighty wants to have a personal relationship with you. He does not just want to be the distant God. He does not just want to be a higher power. He wants to be the God who is known to us as our Father. You remember when they asked him to teach them to pray? How does he start? Our Father. That's a relationship. And the fathers that we have had are loving. They also can be very disciplinary. They could give us great discipline, but that was out of love. That's our Heavenly Father. And so he has told us how to live. But he has reminded us that we can't do it because we are born with a sinful nature. That message has to be proclaimed. It was a message that Jesus proclaimed while he was here. He wanted us to know that the wages of sin is death. He wanted us to know that that sin threw us out of relationship with God. He wants you to know when you come to church on Sunday and pray that the preacher has come preaching that word, that you can't work your way into heaven, that outside of Jesus Christ, you're lost. Not saying just because you're from a great family or you're a nice man, a nice woman, that everything is all right. No, you're lost. But he wants to remind us that he has come into this world, the Lord Jesus, to suffer and to die on a cross. And when he died there, he paid the price for your sins. And then he has said to us, if you will receive me as Savior and Lord, then I will grant you the forgiveness of your sin, and I will promise you two things, the abundant life while you're here, and eternal life when you no longer live on planet Earth. He has promised that our lives would be rich. They could be very difficult. It wouldn't mean pie in the sky, take up your cross and follow me. It could even mean that we would die for the cause of Christ. It could mean that our friends would not want to have us around anymore. That's the kind of message that you hear when you hear Jesus preaching. Read through the Gospels and see what he preached. And then ask yourself, is that the kind of preaching that we're hearing today that finally focalizes everything right in this great message of the cross and the empty tomb and the promise that he is coming again? That relationship, then, is to be personal. Remember the day that Jesus said to the disciples, I want to call you friends. He is our friend. He is far more than that. He is Lord. He is our God, before whom we kneel. He is our Savior, who is going to bring us to heaven. He is all of that. But that relationship is to be so personal that we will just walk with him. We have a Savior to whom we can turn. We not only sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, we have one, and we experience it every day. He's come to talk to us about our Christian life. For example, he has taught us to say, as we live in this materialistic world of ours that is so concerned about things and everything being just so, and big houses until we spend ourselves right into debt. This Lord Jesus has said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be yours as well. That doesn't mean that we're all going to have, or any of us necessarily, are going to be blessed so much with all kinds of material things. Some will be. There's nothing wrong with that. But seek first the kingdom of God. That'll give you a clear mind. What is important in life? It'll give you a new sense of values. It is these sense of values that we're taught and that we hear in a sermon when it is really done the way that the Lord Jesus Christ himself did it. And he alone is our model. He tells us that we are to listen to his word, that we are to take time out to read it, to hear it proclaimed. And then there's a text that he says, you know, Galilee of the Gentiles, where he was preaching, or wherever you and I live, where you're hungry for new thoughts on spiritual matter, the new thoughts are still the old thoughts. Why don't you turn and listen to me and let me feed your hunger? When preaching is strong, the world must deal with the church's message. Where preaching and teaching is weak, the church has little to contribute to the world and its problems. Our culture writes the church off at its very best if they are able to influence us. But if we are able to stand and resist some of these things that are contrary to the word of God, then Jesus Christ is still preaching. I used to say to my people in the congregation, guard the pulpit. The pulpit I take here in a symbolical way, but be careful of the preaching. Make sure that the word of God is being proclaimed. For what comes from the pulpit and what comes from the classroom weakens or strengthens a church. And when the church is strong, America will be strong. When the church is weak, America could very well decay. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, make those of us who are a part of the church today, sitting in the pew, standing in the pulpit, teaching in our churches and in our seminaries, the importance of that word being heard in America today. Grant, O God, that we may really sit down as congregations and ask ourselves, how are we doing? Jesus came preaching and teaching. Are we proclaiming the same message? Help us, O God, to realize that that message is so relevant. For sitting before us in church, in classroom, in home, and around the world are those who may not admit it, but whose souls are hungry. And you have called us, if we are believers in you, to feed those souls. God in heaven, we invoke your blessings upon the church and the preaching of the word. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us when we have often not protected the pulpit. And grant, O Lord, that it may be a clear message where no one goes without hearing what you have to say. We ask this all, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Reverend Larson writes a feature article for each edition. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number again is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.